Mary was troubled at the sort of greeting she received from the angel. What did he mean when he said, "Hail, full of grace," ke charitomene in Greek, full of grace? What did he mean? And, "The Lord is with you." When she met Elizabeth, her relative, she cried out, "Blessed are you among women." What did it mean? What do these words mean exactly? From the earliest days of the Christian faith, these words of revelation were understood as conferring upon Mary a unique grace, a special privilege, a singular identity and mission. Let me quote from some of the oldest fathers of the church, the most ancient ones, Saint Justin and Saint Irenaeus. In the second century, they saw Mary as the new Eve, just as Christ was called the new Adam. Eve was the mother of all the living. Mary would be the mother of all the redeemed. Other church fathers called Mary also the Ark of the New Covenant and the Theotokos, the Mother of God, the Bearer of God. It is from these titles that the doctrine of Mary Immaculate Conception and sinlessness unfolded. And so, for example, another saint, Saint Ephrem the Syrian, in the 4th century, spoke of Mary as without stain or blemish and called her, and I quote, "the all pure, all immaculate, all stainless, all undefiled, all uncorrupt." Saint Ambrose, whose feast day we celebrated yesterday, the Bishop of Milan, in the second half of the 4th century also spoke thus, "Lift me up, not from Sarai, but from Mary, a virgin not only undefiled, but a virgin whom grace has made inviolate, free of every stain or sin." St. Augustine spoke of Mary's sinlessness using a language very similar to the Catholic dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And he said, and I quote, "From the Lord, an abundance of grace for overcoming sin in every particular was conferred upon her, Mary, who had to merit to conceive and bear him who undoubtedly had no sin." So, as you see, the doctrine, the faith, the belief in the Immaculate Conception goes way back to the very first centuries of Christianity. Yet, the dogma was proclaimed only in the year 1854 by Pope Pius IX. In his bull, he wrote, "By a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, Mary was preserved free from every stain of original sin." Very important. What the Pope is saying is that Mary was saved by her Son. In view of his merit, of his life, death, and resurrection, she was preserved from sin. We are saved from our sins through baptism. Christ is our Savior because he forgives us our sins. Mary was saved by her Son because he preserved her from sin. So, the only Savior is still Jesus Christ. Mary was saved by her Son in the fact that he preserved her from all sin. Pius IX declared this to be a dogma. In other words, a fundamental and necessary element of the Catholic faith. That was in 1854. Well, in 1846, that is 8 years before the Pope declared the dogma, the bishops of the United States had already chosen the devotion to the Immaculate Conception of Mary as the patroness of the United States. In this case, the United States beat the Vatican, got there first. 24 years before the Declaration of the Dogma, that is in 1830, in Paris, Saint Catherine Labouret had a vision of the Blessed Mother, who told her of this image, which became the miraculous medal, upon which the words are written, "O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." Before the Declaration of the Dogma of the Immaculate Conception, there was already devotion to the Immaculate Conception. And 4 years after the Declaration of the Dogma of the Immaculate Conception, our Blessed Mother once again appeared in Lourdes to Bernadette Soubirous. And she told her, "I am the Immaculate Conception." These words Bernadette could not even pronounce, less understand. And finally, once again, the Blessed Mother in 1917, 100 years ago, appeared to the three young shepherds in Fatima, and among other things prophesied, "In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph." You see, a coming together of different revelations confirming our belief, our faith, that Mary was conceived immaculate without sin. And indeed, the root of all this goes way, way back to the days of creation. As we heard in today's first reading, right after the fall of Adam and Eve, we find what the church fathers called the proto-evangelium, the first gospel. The first good news was proclaimed right there in the Garden of Eden after the fall of Adam and Eve, when God said, "I will put enmity between you," the devil, the serpent, "and the woman, between your offspring and hers. You will strike at his heel, but he will defeat you, strike you at your head." It's already the announcement of a good news, right there, right after the original sin. God speaks of a woman, and through her, the one who will defeat Satan. So as we celebrate the Immaculate Conception, this is good news for us. Every time the Church celebrates a feast of the Blessed Mother, we are celebrating one of the traits of the Church as well. Mary is the Mother of God. The Church still continues to generate, to give life, to bring to light the sons of God. Mary was conceived without sin. The Church is called to be, as Paul says in today's second reading, holy and without blemish before him. She is the model of whom we are meant to be. That's the true devotion to the Blessed Mother. We Catholics love the rosary, and that's good, the scapular, nothing wrong with that. Images of the Blessed Mother, beautiful. But keep in mind, true devotion to the Blessed Mother is imitation of the Blessed Mother. We cannot imitate her in being conceived without sin, but we can imitate her in striving to be holy and blameless in his sight. May Mary help us do this. So be it.